Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to separate and be with brothers and sisters and, Father God, to hear your word preached. And I pray, Father God, that again, Lord, I beg you, incline your ear towards us, Father God, and Lord, and bless us. And I pray, Father God, that you'd work in each and every one of our hearts, that there'd be something for everyone in each of the messages this morning. Lord, I pray we need it and we plead it that we be lifted up and Father God, that we be strengthened for the upcoming week. And I ask you, Father God, to be with our pastor. Lord, strengthen him, encourage him. I pray, Father God, that you speak through him in a powerful way. Lord God, I pray that you'd use him, Lord, to just prick our hearts. Father, I pray you bless the song singing. I ask you, Father God, that it would be a sweet savor in your nose, Lord, that our singing would just exalt you and praise you and glorify you. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for all that's said and done here this morning, and I pray it in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. If you would turn with me to page 489. If you're able to stand, why don't you stand with me and sing Where He Leads Me.
Jesus. Be thou exalted, thy seraphs and I think Miss Marge is going to hit me if I forgot that. Amen. You know, it's a blessing to hear a young child singing a hymn or the tune to it after you're done singing it. I don't know if you heard, was it Johan or one of them back there, Lydia? I think it was Johan. I was just sitting there, I think that's a blessing because he's there humming it while you're talking. I said, that's a good stuff right there to get your kids to remember those hymns and get it in their minds. And, you know, sometimes maybe we think that they're not hearing or paying attention, but I think they're hearing and paying attention more than we think. Amen. Glad I had a house last night to sleep in. At least up this way. I don't know how it was now. Whew, that wind was blowing. I said, thank you, Lord, that I have a house to sleep in tonight. I don't have to find some place in the woods to crawl under a tree or something like that. I said, God, thank for heat. Thank for a bed. That wind was moving last night. Amen. So if you take your Bible, Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter number 4, and let's see here. Genesis chapter 4. And let's pick up here verse number 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came to pass, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is that countenance fallen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you lead, guide, and direct your God. I pray, Lord, we would just glorify you, Lord, that we lift you up, that you would be exalted this morning, Lord, in our singing. And Father, help us just to glean what we can from your word this morning. Open our eyes, open our ears and hearts, dear God. And Lord, just clear our minds, dear Father, and just help us to pay attention, Lord, to what the Bible says. And Lord, draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And we'll just ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So the Bible here talks about Cain and Abel. And last week we kind of closed up here where it says here in verse number 3, and in the process of the time it came to pass. Just real quickly, one thing to realize in life is that eventually things will come to pass. There's no way to stop time. There's no way to stop the days from moving on and the sun coming up and the sun going down. There's no way to stop these things. And given enough time, it'll come to pass. And the Bible says in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And Ecclesiastes 11:9 is very interesting. It says this, it says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Hebrews 4:13 talks about how there's nothing hid from God, nothing going to be able to be done in secret, that eventually it won't come to pass to where it will come out. And, you know, eventually the heart of man is going to come out. Eventually the heart of man is going to come out. And we see the heart of Cain here. It says, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brings an offering to God. Okay, given enough time, God's going to put, I believe this, given enough time, God will put all of us in certain situations to pull out what is in the heart. You know, it's very easy to talk the talk. It's very easy to say the right words when it comes to Christianity. It's easy to maybe repeat a verse or say, I believe this or I believe that. But what do our actions and how we live back up with what we're saying? Because one thing I do realize is that people are watching. People are watching whether we realize it or not. I've been amazed as a pastor how the Lord will put me in certain situations to find out certain things. And the individuals will think, well, I'm getting away with something, or this is happening here. And I'm telling you, some of these things have not been a coincidence. And I just sit back and I say, Lord, you're something. Lord, you're something. You know, because sometimes I think, well, we'll just skirt around and we'll get away with things. We, We won't get away with nothing. But you know what God's looking for through it all, I believe, is just honesty and truth. Honesty and just being truthful. Honesty and truth. And that's one thing that Cain was not. Cain was not honest and Cain was not truthful. The Bible says here in verse number 3, and it came, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So here we see over a period of time, we don't know how much time it is. And like I said last week, I don't think this is the very first time that an offering is being brought to God. I believe Cain and Abel had an example from their father. No, it's not in the Bible. I believe Adam taught his children what was proper and what was needed to be brought before God. Okay? I don't believe they're just winging this thing, and Cain says, you know what, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I know I need to probably maybe bring something to God, and let me just grab some of my fruit and bring it to the Lord. No, I believe Cain and Abel had an example, a godly example from their father. Okay? Now, the Bible says here, he brings of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Immediately here, we see Cain's heart come out. Immediately we see, I believe, that Cain did not put God first in everything that he did. He was willing to acknowledge God. He was willing to pay some type of a reverence to God in a sense, but it wasn't the way God required it and what God desires. I believe here I could say maybe Cain's just trying to wing it. I know I'm supposed to do this for God, and this is just what I'm going to bring, but his heart is not in what he's bringing. One of the reasons I say that is look what it says here. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Now he was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, the Bible tells us. But look at verse number 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Abel brings the firstlings of the flock to the Lord as an offering, and the fat thereof. Cain just brings some fruit from the ground that he had tilled. Why didn't Cain bring the first fruits? That would have been a little bit better, I think, than just bringing fruit. He didn't even bring God his first fruits. Now take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning. Normally I don't. You know, this is not my thing to talk about, but I believe here it's important this morning about giving. You know what? Some individuals, there's some churches out there that believe that you need to tithe. There's other churches out there believe that you're not under the tithe, which in essence, we're not under the tithe in the law. But I believe most Christians, when you really get down to what God requires, I think almost would love just to be under the tithe. You know, because the tithe is only 10%. That's under the law. But there is the principle of the 10% prior to the law with Melchizedek and Abraham, with Jacob. So there is a principle of the tenth being offered to God. Now some will come up and say, all right, well, preacher, we're not in the law. I understand we're not in the law. But you ought to be at least giving 10% to God. At least, if not, a lot more. All right, so that's why I say a lot of people are like, well, just stay with the tenth then, man. Because you know what God requires? God requires all. Exactly, and we're going to see it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Look what the Bible says here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, that could be in a physical sense that you give to God and God will bless you. And there was that principle in the Old Testament with those that were Jews. Okay, God says, if you honor me, the Lord says, and we're not going to go into it all this morning, but under the law, and as they went into that physical nation, God says, you honor me, you bless me, you tithe to me, you do what the law says. God says, I'm going to bless the fruit of your ground. You're going to have plenty. Your crops are going to multiply. You're not going to have famine. You're not going to have drought. All those blessings and all those curses found in the Old Testament. God says, you bless me, you'll be blessed. God says, you curse me, you're going to have a rough time of it in a physical sense. But I believe we can apply these things to the spiritual sense. Brethren, it ought to be in our heart to give God what we have. We ought not to be like, oh, got my paycheck. Oh, I can't believe it. Every month I got, or a week, I got to give something to God now. You might as well just keep your money. The heart attitude should be, it should be an honor and a privilege to be able to give to God. The Bible says here in Proverbs, honor the Lord with what? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the fruits of all thine increase. I take that if I get any extra money in besides what maybe I work for, I ought to give God some of that money. I should not be so stingy. Listen, gross or net? Really? You're going to ask that question. You already see where your heart's at. You're going to come to the God that gives you everything. And you're not saying it to the preacher or another brother or sister. When you're saying a statement like that, you're saying it to God. God, should I give you the gross or the net, God? Imagine if the Lord says that to you, like, okay, I'm going to bless you, but I think I'm just going to bless you with my net, not my gross. I want him to bless me with his gross. Do we see? Brethren, when we get that nitpicky on things, it's showing exactly where your heart's at. Your heart, you're trying to weasel around and find any way you can keep more money in your pocket and give less to God. Look, I ain't all about money as far as you. This is between you and the Lord. All this is between you and God. But I believe God will bless you spiritually, and maybe sometimes God will bless you physically if you put God first and give him of the first fruits of all thine increase. Take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 22. Again, here, under the law here in Exodus chapter 22. But look what Exodus 22 says. Exodus 22 and verse 29. I guess as we're going through this study here with Cain and Abel, there's so much here, and we're going to see that Cain's heart was wicked. Cain's heart was wicked. I believe Cain was just going through the motions, because he knew that's what he was supposed to do for the God that he knew existed. Look at Exodus 22 and look at verse number 29. Exodus 22 and verse 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with the dam, and on the eighth day thou shalt give it me. God requires first. The first fruits, the first of the sheep, the first of the cattle, even the firstborn. God says it's mine. And the principle with this, brethren, is that God wants your best. God wants you. God doesn't want just part of you. God desires to have your all. Everything. Not just 40%, 50%, 70% of your heart. God wants you to get in on this thing with serving him with 100% of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Okay? Take your Bible. Well, Exodus 23, if you look over to the next chapter in Exodus, look at verse 19. Just this principle of the first. Exodus 23, 19. The first of thy first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. The first fruits. Hey, hang on 1 second here. Let me find something. Exodus. Yes. Look at Exodus 35, verse 20. Exodus 35, verse 20. Concerning the first fruits, and Cain just brought of the fruit of the ground. He didn't at least bring the first fruits of his increase. He just brought some fruit to God. But look at Exodus 35. This is where they're getting ready to prepare the tabernacle. But look what's said here in Exodus 35, verse number 20. And all the congregation of children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were, look at this, willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. For everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Verse number 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine linen. Down to verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. We see a principle here. We see the principle of God stirring individuals up in a sense that they're willing to bring this. They have a willing heart. God's not making them do this. God says, I want those to bring these things for the tabernacle that's to be built and to be made. He's like, I want them to bring this willingly. Because they want to, because they desire to. Brother, it all comes back to, why are we in church this morning? It's freezing outside right now. But why do we come? Hopefully we come to church because we want to be in church. We're here willingly because our heart desires to meet with God and to give what we can to get to God because of all that he's given to us. Where is the heart concerning things that are the Lord's? You know, look at 1 Chronicles 29. Where's the heart? 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, I think it's verse 10. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. All right. So again, if we have any money in the bank account or any money in our pocket or anything that we own, it's God's. Everything. There's nothing we have that we can say, this is mine. And God says, if God wants to, God can say, no, it's not yours. Give it back to me. God could do that. Look at verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, Father, forever and ever. Look what it says in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You say, well, preacher, I gave the Lord 20% this week. Good, you gave God back what was already his. That's what these verses are saying. Well, I'm doing good. I gave God 50%. Well, you're doing good. You gave him 50% back of what is his already. That's what the Bible says. That is the principle. That's what David is saving. David is saying, if we have any privilege to give anything back to God, it was God's already for us to give it to him. There's nothing we can do or create or make to say to God, hey, God, you never had this, and I'm going to give it to you. God's going to say, no. Everything you possibly could give me, it's already mine. I'm just trying to get you to realize it. And what victory comes when we realize that everything's God's. And we possess nothing of our own, only what God allows us to possess. And then you can have the attitude and the right mindset as Job, where Job loses everything almost. And he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job had this principle down. Job realized, whatever I got, if it goes away, bless God's name because he gave it to me and it's every right of his to take it away from me. God gives us a wife, God gives us a husband, God gives us a house, God gives us a car, God gives us kids, God gives us a good job, God gives us money, God gives us heartache, it's all God's. And God says, I give, and God says, I can take away, because ultimately, everything is God's. Everything. And that principle's here. So when it comes to giving, well, I believe we're only supposed to give 10%, well, I believe there's no tithe, and I believe this, and it's all God's anyways. What it comes back to, brethren, is the heart. The heart. Real soon here, Lord willing, hopefully in another couple weeks, we're going to start trying to support some missionaries. There's going to be a box there. I've been so busy, and my apologies. I'm waiting to... My wife's just slacking, and she's slacking. I had her and Ellie out here shoveling snow yesterday, and they were just too slow, so she couldn't get done the other stuff I wanted done at the house. No. I'm getting ready. She's going to pick up that hymn book. Yeah. That's why she's sitting way back there. She was sitting right here. It might be a little different story. No. Amen. No, so I'm trying to get that box together to get back here. But I think it's important to support missionaries. I believe it's important for a church. I believe it's important for a church. Brethren, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our money. God wants us. He wants us. He wants us. Not only does God want us, he wants us to want him. That's what he wants. That's why we were created. God could have made a bunch of robots to just serve him and do everything at his own whim. But with that, there's no love that can be shown. You know why God set this system up the way he set it up? Because he made it a system to where he wants individuals to choose willingly that they want to serve him and love him. Because God then knows they really love me because I give them the opportunity to not love me. You see, in order to have love, you got to be able to have hate. In order to have happiness, you got to be able to have anger. You got to have these opposites for an individual to be able to choose. And God set this thing up for individuals to choose whether they want to obey and love God or choose and obey their own flesh and their own will. And God's not going to force us to love him. He's not going to force us. I believe that where we're at, God's not going to force us to give money to him. That's why I don't like the high-pressure stuff of sometimes churches of begging for and pressuring people to give money. If I got to pressure you to give money, then it's not good. And it's doing you no good because you're just doing it because the preacher's wanting you to do it. When ultimately what I should desire and what you should desire, I'm doing because I want to do it. And when you get a congregation and you get brethren to serve God because they want to serve God, you want to talk about power in the church, you want to talk about the Holy Spirit coming in and moving into services and having liberty, is when you have a bunch of believers who want to be here willingly and offer themselves unto God. Not their wallet, but their all, their everything. That's what God desires. And that's where Cain fell short. Cain just said, this is what I got to do. I'm going to come do it. At the same time, his brother's coming with a willing heart, with a desire to serve God, with a desire to please God. And this brother over here saw this brother over here. And this brother over here gets mad at this brother because he just wants to love God. And it's making this one look bad. We'll get to that in a second here. You know, brethren, there's a principle in the Bible. Sometimes I scratch my head because I can't figure it out. But 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this, who maketh thee to differ from another? And Paul tells the church there, he says, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Paul's basically saying again this principle, listen, if you have anything, any gift, any ability for God, it's because God's given it to you. Therefore, you should not boast in it. If you can sing well, if you can play an instrument, if you can, whatever you think you're good at and you can do it, and all of a sudden you stand up and you say, oh, look at me. Look how good and wonderful I am. Listen to my angelic voice as I sing this special unto you. The Lord's going to be like, hey, do you remember? I created you in the womb and I gave you that voice and I gave you the ability to do so. And as prideful as you can be in it, I can take it away just as quick as you got it. That's what Paul's saying in Corinthians. What do you have that you didn't receive from God? Now look at these interesting verses in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11 and look at 24. Look at this principle here in Proverbs. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet or fit, but it tendeth to poverty. So you're going to get it. Look at the next verse. We'll put the two together. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The principle of this, I'm going to do for others, I'm going to give, I'm going to scatter, I'm going to put out what I have, and it appears to me I'm losing because I'm giving it out, yet the Bible says, he that scattereth shall increase. And the Bible says in the second part of that verse, and there is that withholdeth more than is fit, but it tendeth to poverty. That means they're not willing to give and to scatter and give out. They hold back more than is meat, more than that is fit for what they need, and they hang on to it. And the Bible says that that tends to poverty. Poverty spiritually, brethren. You might be set physically, but if you're just holding on to your money and please understand what I'm saying. I'm just going to hold on to this cash for a rainy day because I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm just going to keep this in here. I'm going to withhold more than is meat because you need to pay your bills. Pay your bills, but I believe you give to God before you even pay your bills. And if you can't give because you got too many bills, then maybe you need to cut back on some of your bills. Maybe you need to get rid of that cable television. Maybe you need to get rid of the cell phone. Because I think you can still get landlines. Because we got one here at the church. But I won't be able to check Facebook. Well, then you need to give God first, though. This, brethren, I do not believe I pay my bills first and do what I got to do first over here. And then whatever's left over, God, I will now give it to you. No, that's not the principle of the Bible. The principle of the Bible is God first. Okay, and then God will take care. Okay, here are my needs. And we live as kings. So to say that we can't do without some things. Maybe we need a smaller house. Maybe we need to find a trailer. Maybe we need to go without the cable television. Maybe we not go to Kohl's every week and buy clothes. I'm just saying, brethren. But the mindset of me first, God second, is going to be poverty to your soul. It's going to affect you spiritually. You might be just fine in the physical aspect, but you'll be one miserable person to be around. Because you know why, brethren? Because it's all about you. And it comes out in your spirit. Well, I'm going to take care of me. There you go. There's your problem. What about me? No, what about God? See, that's what's messed up this country. We have put ourselves before God. Well, how will I live? Does he own a cattle on 1,000 hills? Does he not know exactly what's going on in your life? Put God, I believe this, you put God first and everything else will be okay. Put God first. You see this principle in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, very familiar portion of scripture. It says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. every morning, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Very simple verse. Very simple. Don't need to go to the Greek and Hebrew on this. All right? You give to God because you want to give to God, and you give with the right heart, a cheerful heart. I'm happy that I have the ability to be able to give back to God who has given me everything. You know, there's some brethren, I think it was John Wesley. I meant to look this up before I taught this, and I forgot. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was John Wesley. I believe that man almost got to the point in his life to where he was basically, I think, giving like 90% back what he had, what he gave. He would even give back stuff that was given to him, like silver and things like that. He would give it right back to God. Basically, that man lived on like 10%. There was another man. Oh, what was his? Who?
Laterno.
Who was? Yeah. Yes. Yep. And there was somebody like that did JCPenney or Caterpillar, one of these big companies. I forget who the owner there eventually got to a point to where he was basically almost giving back 90%, 10%. 10% for him, 90% to God. You know how exciting that would be? Because you could see God move and do things in your life. Look at George Mueller. Another perfect example. But see, that's, I think sometimes Christians want a 9-to-5 Christianity with the weekends off. 2 weeks vacation a year. That's the kind of Christianity I want. A 9-to-5 Christian. God, you want me to expect miracles every day? And God says, yes, because I'm the God of miracles. Brethren, this is hard principle. I ain't saying that. These are hard principles. These are very hard principles, but I believe you can put these principles into practice. I believe you will have liberal. You will have a liberal soul physically will be a liberal soul spiritually. There'll be a joy there. There'll be a happiness there because you realize your God's your all. My God's my all. That's what he desires. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 7. You want to talk about an oxymoron. I think that's the right word to use here. Proverbs 13, verse 7. Tell me to figure this verse out. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. How is that possible? I'm rich. Yet, the Bible says, yet hath nothing. And look at his next part. There is that is poor. No, that's not what it says, does it? Look. We can understand. Maybe it says there is that are rich and hath nothing. There is that are poor and they have great riches. No, look what it says. There is that maketh himself rich. Maketh himself rich. You know why? Because it's all about him. Look, what shall I do with this great increase? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns to keep all that I got. And I'll say to my soul. Look what you've done. Sit back, relax, eat, be merry. Look at all your increase. Just and you're miserable and thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. There is that maketh himself rich, yet he hath not. Brethren, how many people today in this country that are millionaires, billionaires, and they're absolutely just miserable? They have everything that heart could wish. They could buy islands. They have so many cars they could never drive them all. They have so many pairs of shoes and clothing and everything that they possibly could want. I knew of an individual one time that had it was like either a pearl or golden toilet. Why do I need a gold toilet? It was somebody who was super rich. I think I'll just get me a gold toilet. That's really nice. Really? You're that vain. You're that vain. And they're miserable. How many people in Hollywood are on drugs because they're miserable? But yet we look at them and they have everything that this world says you're supposed to want and have, and they're miserable. They got to go into drug rehab. They got to go into alcohol rehab. They're on their 10th marriage because none of the pretty women that they've married has satisfied them. And none of the handsome men that they have married satisfies them. And they're always looking for something that it's like water through their hands because it's all about them. And when it's all about you or me, then we're going to be miserable. But the individual, the Bible says here, there is that maketh himself rich yet hath nothing. Yet, the Bible says, there is that, look what he has to do. There's individuals that make themselves poor. Look what they got though. Yet they have great riches. They make themselves poor. Why? Because they're always looking at others and how they can do for God and other people. And in doing so, they're making themselves poor. Yet inside, they are rich as a king. Rich as a king. I forget if I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell this story right. Mel, maybe you can help me out if you can remember it. But so, oh, yeah, was it? There was this church, a mountain church up in the mountains of Appalachian, somewhere up there. Very poor community. But they had a, they had this, I don't know if she was a widow or what. There was this woman in the church that was basically, she didn't have nothing. She was dirt poor. I mean, she was struggling bad. And so the church got it together in their mind. They were going to take up a collection and give it to this woman. Well, word got around, and this woman, this poor woman, heard about this, but she didn't realize it was for her. And so she started gathering what little she had because she wanted to give to this individual that really needed it. And come to find out, it was the one, they were doing it for, was for her. She was rich. She was rich inside. This world didn't have her bound down. Why? Because she realized it's all God's. What God gives me, God gives, God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I got a roof over my head. I got shoes on my feet. I got food in my stomach. I'm good. And even if God doesn't give me those things, I'm still blessed beyond measure. Brother Joe, Sister Chris gave me a picture of in the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and it shows some men that used to be Muslim, and they had some like a waterproof tarp, like six or seven of them were holding up this tarp around this other fellow who's in it, and they had put water in there so that they could be baptized. But they found Christ. They're rich. They're rich. You see, the Lord, I've said this before, the Lord desires for us to give him all of ourselves first. It's not about money. It's not about money. It's not even in a sense about the offering. I want to close, if I can find it. I believe it's Psalm 50. Yes. Psalm 50. And for the sake of time, jump down to verse number 7. And I want to close with this principle here this morning. I know I'm taking a while to get through Genesis, but I want to pull out what's in Cain's heart. You see, Cain was just going through the motions. Cain knew he had to bring an offering to the Lord. And instead of doing it from the heart, instead of doing it with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, Cain just kind of winged it and said, I'll just bring God some fruit and God will accept it. And we're going to find out, and you all know the story in here. God didn't have respect to Cain's offering, but he did have respect to Abel's offering. Because God's looking at the heart from both of those young men, Cain and Abel. And God realizes, listen, I want you to bring an offering. You need to bring an offering. But listen, more so than just bringing the offering, God says, again, I want your heart. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. 1 John chapter 1, it talks about the fellowship and joy that Jesus Christ had with the Father and that God the Father desires with us now, a walk with him. I come to the garden alone and I talk with him and the Lord talks with me and we have a relationship with one another because that's what he desires and that's what I also desire. Okay? Well, look at this principle though about the heart and not necessarily what you bring. Verse 7. Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. God's getting ready to deal with his children, the nation of Israel. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. Look what the Lord says in verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. Why? Because all is his. An attitude of thanksgiving. Brethren, I believe when you start losing the attitude of thanksgiving, you begin to head down a perverse road. When you can't be thankful no more, that's a dangerous road to start heading down. God says here, the Lord says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? Verse number 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. For thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. That's where we run into problems, brethren, right there. That's the problem. We think God's just like us. Mm-mm. God's not like us. God is God. And we ought to reverence him. We ought to fear him properly. We ought to love him with all we have. Why? Because God is not like us. He is God. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Order his conversation aright. What do we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 in our study on Wednesday nights? We'll close with it. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Same principle again. Giving God our all. Are all in a holy conversation and living a life of godliness. 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse number 11. 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Psalmist says, you offer praise that glorifieth God, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. 2 Peter 3, 11. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, talking about the final destruction of the earth and heavens. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God? Brethren, this principle this morning as we look here at Cain and Abel. Cain doesn't come with the right heart attitude. He comes, the Bible says, of that wicked one. Cain's not right. Cain has the ability to be right, but Cain's living for Cain, and it gets himself into a mess. May God help us to bring to God those things that are rightfully his and with a right heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for these brethren, Lord. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help me to put these things into practice, God, these principles. Lord, these are hard things, dear God, to make oneself poor in order to gain riches, eternal riches, spiritual blessings. Lord, the flesh don't like these things, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with our flesh, dear God. I pray that we would crucify the lusts and the affections thereof. And Lord, that our life would glorify you through the Spirit. Lord, help us to love you more because of all you've done for us. And Lord, we'll give you glory and honor and praise. And we ask these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and our Savior. Amen. Amen. Brethren, take a little break here. 5 minutes. If any men are interested, we'll be praying in my office. Amen.